Herodotus, in his work The Histories from 5th century BC, portrayed the Scythians as people who drank from the skulls of their enemies. Similar traditions were described for China in the 1st and 2nd centuries BC, and for Viking tribes by Magnus Olafsson, written in 1636. Discovered in the Goes Cave in Somerset, UK, this is said to be the earliest directly dated human skull cup ever found at approximately 14,700 years old. Human skull bowls were fashioned from the oval upper section of a human cranium and used as a cup. This practice is performed as a ritual in some sects of Tibetan Buddhism, where blood is consumed from the decorated human skull known as a kapala, which means skull in Sanskrit, as the practice is also known in Hindu Tantra. The skulls are usually from other deceased monks, but not always, and the purpose it is done is sometimes symbolic in some cases, but it's also often described to be for enlightenment purposes. When used for esoteric rituals, the history of the cranium's original owner can often have important bearing on the ritual's potency. The skull of a murderer or execution victim is believed to possess greater tantric power, for example, than the skull of one who has died from an accidental death or from an illness, let's say. The skull of someone who died peacefully in old age has virtually no occult power. Having the greatest potency are skulls of children who died during the onset of puberty. Plutarch said, "Man was made of earth, but the power that made a human body grow was the moon, source of menstrual blood." The lives of the very gods were dependent on the miraculous power of menstrual blood. In Greece, it was euphemistically called the supernatural red wine given to the gods by Mother Hera. The esoteric secret of the gods was that their mystical powers of longevity, authority, and creativity came from the same female essence. The Norse god Thor, for example, reached the magic land of enlightenment and eternal life by bathing in a river filled with the menstrual blood of a giantess. Odin acquired supremacy by stealing and drinking the wise blood from the triple cauldron in the womb of the Mother Earth. Odin's theft of menstrual magic paralleled that of Indra, who stole the ambrosia of immortality in the same way. Indian myth, according to some occult interpretations, called this sacred fluid soma. Soma was drunk by priests at sacrificial ceremonies and mixed with milk as a healing charm. Therefore, it wasn't milk. Soma was especially revered on Samvara or Monday, the day of the moon, which has been a documented symbol for a woman's monthly cycle since the Pleistocene, or Ice Age. Tantric worship of menstrual blood penetrated the Greco-Roman world way before the Christian era and was well established in the Gnostic period. This worship provided what they called a spiritual marriage, and it was practiced by Gnostic Christians like the Ophites. And another name for this was the way of Shaktism, meaning tantric yoni worship. Shaktism was declared a heresy before the 7th century AD, and subsequently the spiritual marriage, or love feast as it was also called, disappeared, and women were completely forbidden direct participation in Christian worship, and the menstrual mysteries basically went underground. Egyptian pharaohs became divine by ingesting the blood of Isis, a soma-like ambrosia called Sa. Its hieroglyphic sign was the same as the sign of the vulva, you know, a yonic loop, and to many secret societies that go all the way back to ancient Egypt, the Holy Grail, in its true original essence, is the womb. It's still specified in the left-hand rite of Tantra that the priestess impersonating the goddess must be menstruating. In India, where menstrual blood is known as the Kula flower or Kula nectar, when a girl first menstruates, she's said to have borne the flower. In Chinese religion of Tao, the Way, they taught tantric doctrines, which later were supplanted by patriarchal philosophies. But the Taoists said a man could gain mystical insight, creativity, and wisdom, and in some cases become immortal, or at least very long-lived, by absorbing menstrual blood, called red yin juice, from a woman's mysterious gateway, otherwise known as the Grotto of the White Tiger, a symbol of life-giving female energy. So Chinese sagas call this red juice the essence of Mother Earth, the yin principle that gives life to all things, and they even claim that the Yellow Emperor became a god by absorbing the yin juice of 1,200 women. Taoist China considered red a sacred color associated with women, blood, sexual potency, and creative power. White was the color of men, semen, passivity, and death. Menstrual blood is full of stem cells, and in 2005, Thomas Rando at Stanford University in California and his team found that young blood returned the liver and skeletal stem cells of old mice to a much more youthful state during tests. The old mice were able to repair injured muscles as well as the young mice. So spooky things also happened in the opposite direction too. So when young mice received old blood, they appeared to age prematurely, and in some cases, injured muscles did not heal as fast as would be expected. So we even see cases such as billionaire PayPal founder Peter Thiel, who believes transfusions of blood from young people can reverse his own aging process, and he allegedly pays $40,000 a quarter for blood transfusions from an 18-year-old by a California company called Ambrosia. So in light of these scientific findings, it seems that the general public is starting to reconsider old stories which were generally regarded as myth, such as those involving vampires, and in more modern times, secret occult blood rituals which allegedly involve royalty and other initiated elite. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist and author, and I invite you to explore some suppressed mysteries with me in an attempt to unlock the riddles which have eluded any serious consideration in mainstream academia. Species with amnesia, our forgotten history. Gods with amnesia, subterranean worlds of inner earth, the occult secrets of Vril, and 1666, redemption through sin. I appreciate all of the positive feedback, and I thank you very much for listening.